I am really glad that you guys are here. I don't like this being so far away, but I guess I have to be. I might just walk up and down the aisles like, you know, a preacher does or something. My name is Tara Melber. I am the Adoption and Foster Care Ministry Director at Highview Baptist Church here in Louisville. And anyway, I'm really excited to talk to you about kind of how to begin an adoption and orphan care ministry in your church, and how to potentially and hopefully create an adoption culture where it's not just a, you know, those people versus we other people in your churches. And so I feel like we are doing a pretty good job of that. We get our congregation pretty excited about seeing all these little people come home. And come on in. Here, take some of these. I'm the queen of informal, by the way. So just to ask my social worker, Lisa Mosley, who's here this morning. She did both of our home studies for our adoptions. And the funny thing is that every time she's come to do a pre-visit or a post-visit, we've lived in a different house. That's really embarrassing. When in the last 10 years, we've moved 14 times. And so the funny thing is that a couple of those places, we actually lived there like a whole year and a half. So anyway, we're parked for a while, but come on in. Here you go. Okay, great. So anyway, if you need to get up, you need to do anything, feel free to scoot along. See, I've already offended people. Kidding, I'm kidding. So let's pray and then we'll get started, okay? Lord Jesus, thank you so much for today, for your blessings, for the many people who are here this weekend learning so much about you and your word, and about being our Father who's adopted us. Lord, I pray that every word that's spoken today will be honoring to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to give you a little bit of a rundown on how our ministry got started. It wasn't a conscious effort where a committee got together and went to the pastor and said, we'd like to start this ministry. What happened was when David and I lived in Western Kentucky and started our first adoption, we have five kids. We have three biological kids, and then we have a daughter who was born in the Philippines, and she came home to us 5 years ago when she was seven. And then Jonas is from Ethiopia and came home to us 2 years ago. He was almost six when he came home. So we didn't bring home, you know, little people from the hospital. We brought home people to avoid diapers. No, I'm kidding. But so when we moved up here, we started our process in Western Kentucky for Mary Tess, and we knew one person who had adopted. And I called her and said, hey, I hear you're in process to adopt from China. We don't think we want to adopt from China, but we don't know what we're supposed to be doing. And so could you, like, tell us what to do? And she said, well, you just need to get a home study and make friends with your social worker and they'll help you. So sure enough, that's what we did. And we didn't have a clue. David and I didn't know anything, nothing about adoption. And Don and Roger were lovely to, you know, help us along the way. But we lived in a really small town. Adoption was not prevalent at all. And so when we finished our adoption with Mary Tess, I told David, I don't think it was very fun to walk this journey, relatively speaking, alone. And so if we ever have the opportunity to help others who want to start the journey, then we need to do that. And he was all for it completely and totally. And so when we moved up here, we were actually, when we visited Highview, our daughter Mary Tess saw Kevin and Lynette, or saw Lynette Ezel from a distance. And she has very dark hair, and then she saw this little Chinese girl, and she tugged on my coat and said, she's pretty, and I want to meet her. And so, but she loved Lynette's dark black hair and thought I should dye my hair black, which isn't going to happen. And so, anyway, we met Kevin and Lynette just because Mary Tess had seen another family where the child looked different from mom and dad. And so, as we began talking and kind of brainstorming and saying, hey, we walked this journey alone, they had pretty much walked their journey alone. And, you know, we just kind of said, we should really do something where we can support other families. I mean, at the time, there were probably maybe four or five families that had adopted from our church. And so we just said, you know, we'll just be available. And then if anybody has questions, they can call me. And We'll kind of help them along the way. So that was how our ministry started. It wasn't anything grand and grandiose, and there was no big Adoption Sunday to launch it, and we didn't have somebody come in and preach on it. The neat thing about going to Highview is that our lead pastor is an adoptive dad, and so he lives it out. He doesn't necessarily have to get up and preach on it, because when he talks about his kids, he's preaching on adoption. And by having a very public life, others that kind of have come into our congregation have seen, hey, they work like a normal family, even though they have, you know, six kids and three of them look different. They function like a normal family. So, you know, our kids misbehave at Wednesday night dinner and we have to discipline them, and Kevin and Lynette's kids are running up and down the halls. And so it's not like, it just looks like normal everyday life. We're just living life, and it doesn't look as scary, I think, when you're considering adoption. And so we determined that, of course, one of the biggest barriers for people adopting is a financial barrier. So Kevin made some phone calls, and we talked about how we could potentially provide matching grants or no-interest loans to our families. And so Highview began a partnership with Livesong for Orphans, who is represented here this weekend, and began an adoption fund there. The Lord graciously provided the seed money. You have to have about $10,000 from your church to start an adoption fund with a place like Livesong or with the Abba Fund, who's also here this weekend. And so, but the neat thing is that our families then can apply for a grant or no interest loan, and they're not competing in a sense with people from the rest of the nation. So it's Highview families taking care of Highview families and encouraging them in their process along the way. Hey. And so we started doing that. The first year we we honored and gave one grant to a family and a no-interest loan to a family. And it pretty much zapped the whole fund, because we gave a large sum for a grant and a large sum for a no-interest loan. So we, in learning, were thrilled that we helped those families, but thought, holy cow, there's a lot of families that are asking for assistance, and so we're going to have to figure something out. So we determined that as a church that we would cap our grants at $2,500, up to $2,500 for a grant, or a family could choose to do a no-interest loan if they didn't want to send out support letters and that type of thing. So the nice thing, too, about partnering with an entity like Livesong is that it takes the pastor kind of out of the picture, or even a committee that might be determining who gets the grants and who qualifies and who doesn't qualify. They provide the service for free, Livesong does, so we don't pay them anything to be a partner with them. And our families fill out their financial forms and send it to Livesong, and then people at Livesong determine if they financially qualify. So no one can ever say the only reason they got a grant was because they know such and such or so and so. So that takes the pastor out. It keeps him out of precarious situations where he feels, you know, like that's what people are saying. So in order to protect our staff and, of course, our lead pastor, we determined that we would do it that way, and it's worked really nicely. We do have some qualifications that you have to have as a Highview member. Joe Schmo, who comes, you know, on Christmas and Easter, can't come in and request a matching grant or no interest loan. In order to even be considered for a grant from our fund, they have to be a member in good standing of the church. They have to attend an adult Bible fellowship class at least 50% of the time. They have to be regular tithers to the church and be serving in some capacity, and that could mean nursery once a month. But as long as they're investing in our church, then we want to invest in them. We really want our Highview members to be excited about taking care of and assisting our Highview members. So those are the qualifications we set up. Obviously, every church can do it differently, but it just seemed like that was a great fit for us. So we began with a fund, which was great, and last year we gave over $25,000 to our families, which was really exciting. The other thing that we started with that cost the church absolutely nothing, which is just what your pastor wants to hear, is that, sure, we can start something as long as it doesn't cost anything. we began, David and I, teaching a class called Considering Adoption. And it's on your handout. I copied this at home and then had them copy here, so I apologize that the heading is not looking so swift. That's not Southern's fault. That'd be my fault. But this is just a breakdown of what we do in our Considering Adoption class. We hold it twice a year. It's a five-week course. Our church offers things called life groups, so you can take a parenting course or financial peace or whatever, and one of them just happens to be considering adoption. So the church building is already open. We just happen to meet there, but you can meet in your home. It doesn't, it's not required that you have to go to the church building. We have each semester, it could be 15 couples or it could be 3 couples. So we just, we don't advertise as far as saying, I don't walk around and go, I'm pretty sure you should be an adoptive family. I need to guilt you into it. Come on, come to my class. We put it in the bulletin, but, we just have always prayed that whomever the Lord was drawing to adoption, that that's who would be at our class. Every person who comes through our class doesn't adopt. But I'm really okay with that. Used to, I thought that if you were a believer and your family wasn't adopting, that you were just walking in sin. But I've really come over our journey of parenting these children, have really, and seen other children come into homes. I've really decided, I think the Lord has shown me, that not every Christian has to adopt. That's not a bad thing. But that just like the Lord called us to have, 5 kids and somebody else to have 1 child, doesn't mean that that's either one is the right thing or the wrong thing. It's just the Lord will ask of some of you or some of the people in your congregations to bring a child into your family. It's not for everybody. It's definitely not easy street. Parenting is not easy. And adopting children, although is an enormous blessing and we wouldn't have it any other way, there are issues that we deal with, often that are really hard. And not everybody wants to do all of that, and that's okay. So not everybody who comes through our class adopts. However, everybody who's come through our class has begun, if they didn't adopt, have chosen to get involved in caring for the orphan in some way. That might mean babysitting for an adoptive couple who's going to get all their paperwork notarized. That might mean giving to the Highview Adoption Fund. That might mean bringing diapers when we're collecting diapers for the Department of Social and Welfare Services here in Kentucky. It can look like anything, but the neat thing is that people's awareness of the plight of the orphan has been heightened. And so everybody has been called to do something. And so that's what we tell these people. You're here because you're considering adoption, not because you are necessarily adopting. But even if you don't, there is something that you need to be doing, and that's going to look different for everybody. We've used 2 resources for our class. There is a book, and both of these you can get from Hope for Orphans, which is a branch of Family Life Ministries, Dennis and Barbara Rainey. The first one is a small book called Considering Adoption. It's about $5, so it's very inexpensive for people to take the class. It's a very general overview of adoption and asking each other questions that they may not have considered talking about before they made a decision to adopt. The other book, which is a newer thing that Family Life has put out, is called If You Were Mine. And they used to do these workshops all over the nation, and then they decided to put it on DVD, so it's $100 for this program. You get several DVDs, you get resources to do the promotion of the class, and then each of the workbooks, the couples order $8 or $9. So we kind of use a variety of things. I don't use one thing or another because I think that I have an attention problem, and so I can't just sit and watch videos because I get really bored. And so I pull in a lot of different stuff, and over time it's just kind of become our own thing. But that's the nice thing, is that you can make it become whatever your congregation, whatever these people coming to your class need. And you have a far better idea of what they need than anybody else does. So everybody's ministry is going to look differently. But I kind of listed out what we talk about. Each week I have a different guest speaker. Obviously, we haven't adopted domestically. I haven't adopted out of the foster care system, and I've not done embryo adoption. So I have a guest speaker that comes in, generally a couple, and discuss and talk about the process and what it looks like and some of the challenges or the you know, the good things about that particular type of adoption, so that when they've completed the class, they've looked at every potential aspect of adoption and to try to determine what would be the right path for them. The one neat thing that we've done that we did about 5 years ago was that we put a big wall mural of the world in the foyer of the, we have several campuses and only three of them have an actual building. So the ones that have an actual building, we put this giant wall map. And we have one for all the missionaries that we support and for the mission trips that go on at Highview, so that that map is on one spot of the foyer and on the other spot is an adoption map. And on the adoption map is a picture of every family. And it has a list of where they are in the process. So they're either waiting, it's highlighted that they're waiting for a referral, that they're waiting to travel, or that they're home forever. So initially, if a couple, you know, is beginning the process, it's their sweet little family's face and where they, you know, that they're waiting for a referral. And then where they're adopting. Then as when they get their referral, then we add the little person's picture onto their family picture kind of in the corner. It's so sweet. And I'm telling you, our members love that map. You just see them sipping their coffee, checking out the map, see if anything new and exciting has happened. But it just kind of fosters yet again another way for our families to get involved in what adoption in the big picture is, or always kind of keeping to the forefront of their knowledge that there are kids out there that don't have a mom and a dad, that don't have a chance, some of them, to have ever heard the gospel had they not been placed in a Christian home. So it encourages families to give to our families who are adopting. It encourages, it just reminds them of the plight of the orphan. And it helps them get really excited so that when they see a new referral picture and they see those people walking down the hall of the church, they get all excited and you hear little pockets of people, oh, they got the referral. We had one this morning. A family emailed me and said they just were able to receive their little baby girl here, right here in Louisville, yesterday. And they've been waiting for a very long time. So it was really exciting. So, of course, I like emailed everybody on the planet. So we can all celebrate. So the map is a really cool way to do it. Their churches have done it in vastly different ways, but this just is easy and works really well for us. But when we first put the map up, I have a picture of my girls, you know, doing the Vanna thing. We had 8 pictures, and now we have 80 families and over 125 kids that have been adopted into our Highview family. So it's exciting. The other things that we do that don't cost anything, which is wonderful, is that we have a Waiting Moms Fellowship on the second Tuesday of every single month. It's at the same place at the same time. You can come if you want, but you don't have to. But when we were going through the process, as a girl, I tend to be a little more chatty and a little more emotional than my husband, obviously. And so I want to talk about all these ups and downs and how I'm sick of waiting. And although he is very supportive, always was, and, you know, is happy to talk to me about that, he'd be more happy if I talk about it for a really long time with a bunch of girls and then come home and he could hear the shortened version. So we have a Waiting Moms group that I meet with the girls once a month, and it is a whole lot of fun. And the dads, they're not invited because I just want the women to be able to sit around and talk. Now, we have prayed and thought that maybe the Lord would bring along a guy who would minister to the adoptive dads, which I think is also very important. That's a whole other deal that we've determined with this ministry, is that we're not going to move ahead. We're not going to just start something for the sake of starting something. Number one, David and I can't do it all, and we shouldn't do it all. And, you know, there's no sense in starting something if it's just going to fail. And so we just have prayed each step of the way as our ministry has grown. And initially I said we started with a fund and the class, and that was it for like 2 solid years. And then we just began praying, Lord, if there's anything else you want us to do, please bring the leadership to do it, because we don't want to move any further ahead. So the adoptive moms group started. Well, as adoption kind of exploded at Highview, we began to see families struggling in different areas. especially families who were bringing home older children. They weren't horrific struggles. We haven't had a disruption in an adoption, just tough stuff that was kind of hard to walk through. And so David and I were talking, and I said, oh, it would just be so great if we could have some post-adoption resources for these families. You know, we can talk about adoption all day long and have so many families come alongside, but there has to be an environment that you create just in the way that you talk, the way that you support, in that knowing that if your adoption is not easy, that there are going to be people that will come around you and support you and give you godly counsel. So the Lord, in his sweet graciousness, brought a couple to our church, Scott and Kimber Graves. And Kimber works for Bethany Christian Services part-time. And her passion is post-adoption support. Imagine that. So we, at the same night that we have our waiting moms group, we also have a post-adoption, and we call it post-adoption, but I think I'm just going to change the name of it and call it adoption education, because there are many nights that our waiting moms, I make them go and listen, because it's just, there's some really good stuff that they really need to know ahead of time. So I put a list on here of what we go through. Kimber has really fabulous resources that she's able to pull from. My very favorite one she did was when she had a gal come who's an adult adoptee. She's but she was also adopted. So she was looking at it from both ends. And because our kids are, you know, getting ready to go through preteen and teenage years, it was great for me to hear her perspective on growing up in a Caucasian family as a Korean girl. So obviously you can do anything, but I really would suggest that in some way that you give your families resources post-adoptively, encourage them pre-adoptively. During our Waiting Moms group, we talk about a lot of issues that they might face. So it's not just sit around and have coffee and, you know, pray and cry or celebrate. It's some significant things that we're talking about that they may be facing, because I just think it's really, really vital that we come alongside these folks and support them along the way. Some of the newer things that our ministry has done, as people have come to me and said, hey, I would really like to do this, I'm like, you go for it. That's great. I'm happy for you to do it. So we have continent socials. So quarterly, our Asia families all get together, our Africa families get together. And, you know, not every place has had a leader come up and say, hey, I'd like to host something quarterly for this particular area of the world. So we didn't start anything for those places. We're not going to start something new unless the Lord brings the leadership. We also have adoptive family fellowships, things that Highview already plans in the summertime. Highview members go to a baseball game, and they rent out a small little aquatic park. And so those are things that somebody else is already planning, but that I can blitz out all of our adoptive families and say, hey, why don't we all meet for a picnic right before this and then all go together? And so it's a great way for our families to get together, a great way for our children, especially if we're a conspicuous family, to be able to see other families that look very similar to them. So yet again, it's something else that doesn't cost a dime. Somebody else is already planning. We just tag along. It's a good thing. I keep a giant spreadsheet of everybody who's ever adopted at Highview and where they are in the process. And that way, when somebody starts the process, if they're going to South Korea, then I hook them up with a family that's already adopted from South Korea. If they're adopting from Ethiopia, I find a couple at their same campus who's adopted from Ethiopia. And so just having an encourager or another couple that will encourage and support them kind of one-on-one is a wonderful thing. Our church already has a library. It's not a huge library, but we have a fabulous media resource person. And so just this very week, I was talking to her and said, hey, if I get you a book list of really great resources, can you have it here so that families, if they want to support the adoption ministry, could just donate a book for the library so that we can send people there? And so she was all over it. She said, sometimes people just buy books for the library in honor of someone else or in memory of someone else, and I would love to have the list. So even before I've gotten her the list, she's already emailed me and said, I need your book list ASAP. I love her. So that'll be great for us to have a resource library, and that's not hard to do. And the church budget doesn't have to be part of it. You can just build it over time. Everything doesn't have to happen today. You start small and you ask the Lord to show you what He wants for your church. The final thing that we do at Highview that has worked really well for us is that we have an Adoption Sunday. But I want to preface this by saying there is a National Orphan Sunday that's in November, and we don't do ours then because Kevin likes to do it around Mother's Day and Father's Day. So we have ours in May every single year. So, the first year, I think we showed a video. Last year, we had all of the kids carry a little flag from wherever they were born, and they all went up on stage with Pastor Kevin and Dr. Moore, and they did a little spiel. But it wasn't like the whole entire service was about adoption. It was a tiny portion of our service that was about adoption, but our congregation ate it up. You saw all those sweet little faces. They got so excited. We take up a special offering. We kind of give them a forewarning a couple of weeks in advance. We take up a special offering once a year, and all of that money goes to the fund. The first year we did that, we raised $3,000, and I was super pumped. Last year, $14,000. I was, like, really pumped. And so they have to top it this year. So anyway, it's pretty. It is a pretty neat thing. There are some really tremendous resources. The ones that I gave you, the handouts, the Alexis Ministry is another church here in Louisville. And big or small, it does not matter what size your church is. These churches are, I don't even know what their sizes are, but they're not huge churches by any stretch. They're good-sized churches, but they're not, mega churches. This is kind of how they started, what they, their story, what their ministry looks like now, and what they hope for the future. The Just One Ministry is in LaGrange in Oldham County, and they're really, really super people. The other thing that we kind of partner up with is that Louisville has an entity called the Louisville Orphan Care Initiative. They have a table at the exhibit hall, and it's area churches who kind of pull together in order to complete big tasks, or to give your churches opportunity, if you have a big church or a small church, an opportunity to serve in whatever capacity you want to do. So last year for Adoption Sunday, we partnered with them and we made dignity bags, which are for foster care children who are removed from their homes quickly and generally leave without anything at all. So in the bag, they gave us a list of what needed to be in every bag. There was underwear, socks, t-shirts, toothbrush, toothpaste, toiletries, those kinds of things. So that was another neat thing that our congregation got to do that was helping the vulnerable child right here in our backyard. So we had our families ended up bringing about 300 bags, and then I just transported all of them to the Loki warehouse, and then they distribute them. This year, we're doing a diaper derby. I'm sure that might offend somebody. But anyway, the Department of Social Services with the foster care system is always desperately in need of diapers. And that's a way easy thing that anybody of any economic status can pick up a bag of diapers at Walmart. And so on Adoption Sunday was when we collected the dignity bags. And on Adoption Sunday, we'll be collecting them up until a couple of weeks before. But that'll be the big thing. We'll have a big table and diapers piled to the ceiling. And every single one of those will go to foster care kids right here in our own backyard. So it's a great way for our families to be able to feel like they're making a difference right here. And then they can give to the fund to help, an adoptive family. Or we encourage them to potentially consider sponsoring a child somewhere else. In the world, and we give them the ability to be some resources as to where to find those. There is another great resource. It's Tapestry Adoption Ministry. It's out of Irving, Texas. I don't have that handout, so you have to write this website down. Or actually, you'll have to Google it, but you'll find it really fast. Just type in Tapestry Irving Bible Church. And this is a a ministry that works a little bit differently than our ministry in that they reach out into their community. It's in Dallas, Fort Worth, and they have an alliance there as well called the Dallas Fort Worth Alliance. And so it's very much an outreach program where Highview tends to be Highview families ministering to Highview families. We keep ours very small. Now, the post-adopt stuff, we blitz to the whole community, so anybody can come to that. But the Waiting Moms group is Highview members or Highview members and their friends. Or and then all of our activities that we do are for Highview members because I want our members to be taking care of each other. So Tapestry does it for the whole Dallas-Fort Worth area. It's humongo. The cool thing about them is everything they've ever done that succeeded, they put on the website for free. So it's this incredible, you would not even believe what all's on it. It's incredible, incredible resources on their website that are all free. And, I mean, some of the ideas that we have, I just like scroll through their stuff and go, we could maybe do that. That's easy. Or some of the things that they do, like, we're not going to do because it would require enormous, like, they put on a big conference, and I think that's fabulous, but unless the Lord brings me somebody, we're not going to do that. So, anyway, Tapestry is a huge, wonderful resource. There's another local church called Ninth and O who just recently launched their adoption and orphan care ministry. It's called Rosalind's Hope, and they have a great website as well. That's Rosalynns, rosalynnshope.org. Everything Highview does is on our website as well, which is highview.org. And the final really wonderful resource for families post-adoptively is called Empowered to Connect. And it's a lady in, we were going to show her video, but we couldn't get the computer working, so you really should go there. Empowered to Connect is Dr. Karen Purvis. She's been a child development psychologist forever. And she works with, she calls them children from hard places, in really encouraging and helping families cope with some of the issues that they might face that are tough. But one of the videos she has on there is creating a healthy adoption culture in your church. And it's just 4 minutes or so. So if you have the opportunity to go look at that, that would be really great. But she has a slew of videos, and they are putting out a Bible study that's going to go with it that should be published sometime the first half of this year. So that would be a really tremendous resource. Even if your church doesn't offer that as a group, being able to point families to that before they leave to pick up their child or while they're in the process would be really, really great. Let's see. One of the other things that Loki, the Louisville Orphan Care thing, does is that they do a lot of work with our foster care kids in Kentucky. And one of the things that some of our moms who don't plan to be adoptive families, one of the ways they're going to get involved is through a teen moms mentoring program. It's teenage moms who are foster kids who are pregnant. And our moms are going to come alongside these moms. It's a 12-week mentoring program. It doesn't have to end at 12 weeks, but that gives you kind of a time frame. And so that's one of the ways that that our families are getting involved with Loki. Highview also has a separate entity called Children from Afar, which is strictly orphan care, and it's for children who will never be adopted, that will remain in their countries with their birth parents, but their birth parents have dire circumstances. And so one of the neat things, especially for you who are potentially going to be lead pastors, is that they... we've had this area in Guatemala called Pacush, which is a little area that's just devastatingly poor. And so our church sends mission teams down there 5 or 6 times a year to this same little area. They've built the church there. They built the pastor a home there. They do rice handouts. They do village ministry. They share the gospel. They do anything they need. And so the neat thing is that some of our families who don't feel called to adoption can can be involved in orphan care in this same little area and watch these same little children that they go to once a year growing up and feeling like they're making a difference. So any opportunity that you can give your congregation to be involved in orphan care right here in their backyard or wherever you are in your backyard or overseas, we just need to give our families the opportunities. I think sometimes it's not that they don't want to do anything, it's just they don't know where to start. And so just by presenting different options for our families is a really great thing. Finally, one of the things that we will be doing as these children in our church are growing is making sure that we are ministering to those who have been adopted. Our 12-year-old, she's growing up and she's starting to ask more questions and she knows her entire story, and the good and the bad. But the neat thing is that right here at Boys College are two young ladies who were both adopted from the Philippines, who were adopted when they were little. And so one of the things that we're going to be hoping to do, not just with my daughter, self-servingly, but is being able to connect adult adoptees with these children as they grow so that they can ask them questions, especially children who are, I mean, I say especially only because it's my particular situation. You know, I have an Asian daughter who's growing up in a white household, and I have a black son who's growing up in a white household, and there are things that I don't know about being an Asian woman, and I certainly don't know what it's going to be like to be a black man in the United States. And so being able to connect them with godly people who are really following the Lord but can invest in these children to be able to answer the questions that we as their parents aren't going to be able to answer very well. And so it's just kind of one of those things where, you know, if this is what the Lord's asking you to do in your congregation and you feel like you don't have any support from your leadership at this particular point, I mean, just pray. I mean, I think so many times that we just say we want to hit the road running and get something done. But the fact of the matter is the Lord already knows and has a plan for what your ministry is going to look like and for how you can best meet the needs of your congregation. And so I would really encourage you to spend a lot of time in prayer with like-minded people who are wanting to do the same thing and see what it is that the Lord is asking you to do. And not to run too far ahead and yet not to lag behind, but to ask him for the leadership to come alongside and bring the people into the ministry that he wants in there. And ours has evolved over time. I'm sure it will continue to evolve. We have five or six foster families right now, and I've asked all of them to consider leading an encouragement group for foster families who have vastly different needs than adoptive families do. And so far they're all still praying about it, which is fine. And but we just want to make sure that we're not limiting it to one segment of adoption, foster care, orphan care, but that we're ministering to all of our families and all the spectrums. And I think that's really, really vital. But I obviously can't lead a group for foster families because I've never been one. And so we're just going to trust that it's not quite the Lord's timing and that when it's time, it will all work out fine. So do you guys have specific questions that you want to ask? Well, I take a drink of water. And we don't. But there are churches in our area who have. They've done some really cool things. They've had a bocce ball tournament, and they've had, oh gosh, I'm trying to think. There have been people who've had like big chili suppers, you know, to raise money for the adoption fund. But as far as our particular church, we don't. We do a once a year thing. There are going to be churches, obviously, who don't, who haven't quite caught the vision. And that's where I think really bathing it in prayer is gonna work. I have a friend who lives in a town. There are maybe five or six adoptive families in their congregation. They really want to start something, but their leadership is not as excited about it. He's not opposed to it at all. He's just not, you know, it's just another thing that somebody else wants to do. So, you know, I said, well, why can't you just do something in your home? I mean, you live in a small enough community that you could Facebook everybody you know, and you could just begin something in your home. And maybe the Lord doesn't have it right now that's supposed to be something at your church. That doesn't mean that you can't minister to believers in your community to encourage them along the way. I mean, literally, that's kind of how things got started with us, was just, you know, brainstorming away. But even before we moved to Louisville and we're a part of a church where that is who several of our staff our adoptive families, still, once word of mouth gets out that you're an adoptive family, like 8 million people call you, and which is great. And so, you know, your ministry can even just start in your home to begin with and see where the Lord leads it from there. But I know it's hard to, I know that for friends of mine who've had that same issue in their home church, it's been very frustrating. But we just have to trust that the Lord has the bigger picture, and that if we're open and available to what he wants us to do, then he'll make it happen in his timing and not to sweat about it. I don't think I have anything else. So y'all can go get in the line early. Oh, I did want to really quickly, one of the things I do want to tell you is that, and it goes really along the lines with if your leadership isn't on board with it, even when your leadership is on board, like ours is, there are going to be people who don't get it at all. And in fact, I had a girl one time tell me, we were celebrating the fact that someone had gotten a referral, and she rolled her eyes and said, "How much more of this adoption Kool-Aid do I have to drink?" And so in my godliness, I didn't climb over the table and clock her a good one, but, you know, not everybody's going to get it. Some people are going to get really sick of hearing about it. But the fact of the matter is, if you bring it back to the gospel and say, as a believer, you're adopted into the family of God, we have a father who is an adoptive father. And so why wouldn't we want to be an adoptive family? My friend Mary Del Sandberg, that's here today, says that often. And I really do love that, is that if we are following with the Father, then it may not be that we're the adoptive family, but you do have a heart for the vulnerable. And that includes the orphan. That includes the widow. And so just not getting offended over people's reactions to adoption. There are lots of families who are not very excited about transracial adoption and ask you really terrible questions or say really ugly things. And you just kind of have to let it roll off your back and say, you know what, Lord, this is just a learning experience for us all. And but yet another reason to have post-adoptive and pre-adoptive education on how to kind of deal with with other people within your very own church who are believers that don't really appreciate all that's going on in the adoption world. And so we just want to really, really, really equip our families. I so appreciated everything Jed said last night, because I really hope that we're not out there being adoption salespeople. And I hope that we really are equipping our families ahead and behind, because just like marriage, just like parenting, just like parenting adopted children, not that those two are really that different, but just the adoption journey. I tell our families all the time before they even start, this adoption journey that the Lord is going to take you on is far more about your sanctification than about expanding your family. The Lord will do things in your life that you never, ever would have dreamed, that you never thought you would have grown in unless you had walked this journey, because that's what he's called you to do. So, but please equip your families. Don't pie in the sky say, we should all do it, and not prepare them, because it's just like needing to be prepared as much as possible for marriage and needing to be prepared for parenting. Being an adoptive parent, you have to be prepared. Because there are issues that you're going to face with your adopted children that you're not going to face with your biological children. So I really appreciate you coming. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Right. There are even websites, Adoption Learning Partners is a great website, where if you don't feel like you're equipped to be the teacher, that when you have a family that comes to you and says, we're dealing with this, to encourage them to go to adoption learning partners. Do you know of any others off the top of your head? Right. So even those kinds of things, or providing resources. We have a list of resource books, and Tapestry has a really great list. But just making sure that it's always out there, that the learning never ends for each stage.
How do you guys build stuff like
that? Right. You read them first before you. Because there's a book that I recommend all the time, and it's not per se a Christian. She might be a believer, I don't know. But for our situation in dealing with grief and loss after our children came home, I'm telling you, it was like the woman lived in the closet of my house. And it was so great to be able to have, to read that and go, oh, we're not dealing with something that's not, you know, restorable. That's not a word, but you know what I mean. It's called Our Own. Family Life, Hope for Orphans, Show Hope. I mean, all those places have really great resources that you can go to that are from a Christian perspective. So, very wonderful. There are great organizations. And are you all a part of the Christian Alliance?
Yes, we are.
So if you go to ChristianAllianceForOrphans.org, there are enormous resources there. And you can click and find pretty much anything you ever wanted. And so Home for Good does have a table in the exhibit hall as well. And Christian Alliance for Orphans has one. And so basically any of the places that are exhibiting would be wonderful resources for you to be able to help people post-adoptively. So anyone else have a question? Thanks for coming.